Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Today on The Grave Talks, the Hotel Josephine, a conversation with Chrissy Ayers, hotel manager. Hotel Josephine is known as the most haunted hotel in Kansas. It was built by A.D. Walker in 1889 in Holton, Kansas. It was named after Walker's daughter, Josephine, who was born that same year. The hotel was in continuous operation until December of 2010 and has had some very famous guests, including Grover Cleveland. The hotel was only shut down for 1 year and reopened to welcome guests, including those who never left. I'm Carol Hughes, in for Tony Bruschi, and today on this episode of The Grave Talks, a conversation with Chrissy Ayers, hotel manager at the Hotel Josephine. Chrissy, I would love to start with the history of this hotel. 1889, for a hotel in Kansas. I live in Kansas. That is an old hotel for these parts.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And it's still a hotel, and it's basically always been a hotel, which is even more amazing considering a lot of these old buildings, they go through so many phases and they never seem to stay whatever they initially were. But it was built in 1889. It was built by A.D. Walker. He was the mayor of Holton in 1877. And then he got together with a couple of proprietors in town and they put the hotel there. So Josephine would have been 4 months old. So it didn't open until 1890. And that's when Josephine would have been 4 months old. So sometimes in the history, you'll see discrepancies between it opening in 1889 and 1890. So it opens in 1890 and it's basically just run as a hotel. The downstairs was used as a lot of like dining halls, convention halls, things like that. The upstairs was 30 different rooms. that held, they were small. When you walk through, you can actually see like the size of the rooms. There's a couple of the rooms that are still the original size. They eventually renovated it because they have to, because as laws change and indoor plumbing became a thing, eventually hotels, in order to be a room, it has to have a bathroom. So there's a couple of rooms that are just used for storage, but you can see like the size of them. So it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of things in the hotel that they tried to keep fairly original, just to kind of add to, you know, the allure of it all. The original fire system is still in place. Kansas itself, the Houlton, Kansas was basically part of the whole Bleeding Kansas era, where Houlton was founded for purposes of making it a free state. So there's a lot of history there with slavery. I know there's some houses in town that have areas in their houses that were used as part of the Underground Railroad. So it has quite a bit of history. This is kind of crazy because I was literally just standing in the office, in the front office one day, and this guy just walks in and he goes, "Oh, you're in my bedroom." And I'm like, "What?" He goes on to explain that when he was 9 years old, he lived there with his grandparents who owned the hotel. So in the 80s, there were a bunch of renovations done. The staircase initially was outside, but it was brought inside because they deemed that it was unsafe outside. So that was one. They added a front balcony to it. But when he lived there, the downstairs had now become rooms instead of all the dining halls and things. So the downstairs became rooms, and they were used mainly for like the travelers and things like that, where the upstairs became like a long-term living area. So there were a lot of elderly people that actually ended up living there, almost like an elderly community, assisted living type, but legally not, because the owners weren't scheduled for that. So this guy started walking me through, and he was telling me, you know, this guy Max died in this room from smoking. And he said, "Oh, you just open his door and just be filled with cigarette smoke." So there was a guy named Max that died there. There was a guy named Robert. There was a guy named Charles. He didn't get into all like what happened and why they died, but he said, "Remember, at 9 years old, they tried to keep it from me, but these are the ones they couldn't keep from me." He's like, "I can't even imagine how many people actually passed away up here during that time."
That's interesting to hear that from somebody who lived there.
Yeah, this guy taught me so much about the hotel. I was so glad to meet him. And one of the craziest things is the owner's son is like obsessed with this idea that there's this Chris, this young kid named Chris that died, and because there's a well in the basement. So he's obsessed with this idea that this Christopher kid like died in this well, and he's always trying to talk to him and things like that. Well, when this guy came, we're sitting in the basement. He's like, "Oh yeah, I remember the well back there. My grandpa used to tell me, don't go over there because this boy fell in there and died."
What?
And I was like, "What?" Yeah. And the two never met. So I was just kind of like, "What in the heck is going on here?" Because the basement actually used to be, at one point, it was just an open marketplace. There was a speakeasy down there. There's chains actually on the wall where they used to chain up the chain gang at night. It's original chains there. There's original chains in some of the rooms and in the bathroom, the public bathroom that were used to chain up prisoners. The town was so corrupt at one point during the time of like steam engines and things like that, where the when they were transferring prisoners, the guards would come in and chain them to the wall so they could sleep at night, because it was said if they put them in the prison or in the jails there, they would be dead by morning. There's so much stuff that happened in there. There were three doctors that operated out of there at one point in time. I do know that some guy was shot and came in there to see the doctor. They don't have a death record, but like 3 days later is his obituary. So they assumed that he died in the hotel.
Kansas does have is a very, very colorful history. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in Kansas. And so I don't think people always realize that, you know, you brought up Bleeding Kansas, you know, and back in the day, there was a lot of gunfighters and things like, you know, people like that who came through. But the chains on the wall for prisoners, that kind of fascinates me.
They're really cool to see. I took a bunch of photos of them, put them up on their website, because they're really cool to see. And like, just being there. So I never really think about it anymore. You know, sometimes I even forget about it on tours and I'm like, I have to remember to talk about those because it's such a significant part of history. Cary Nation stayed there as well. Cary Nation actually used to live, she lived like a block and a half away from the hotel for a while. And she did stay in the hotel too. So Cary Nation, she was married to an alcoholic and he eventually died of alcoholism. And he was very mean to her. He treated her very bad. So it wasn't until Cary was, I want to say she was in her 40s, that she actually met David Nation and married him. And that's when she actually became Cary Nation. So she didn't even start her tirades until she was in her 40s and 50s. So Cary Nation, when she lived in Houlton, at one point she had gone down to Topeka. So if anybody doesn't know who Cary Nation is, she basically is known for wielding an axe in bars and destroying the fixtures and the alcohol because she hated alcohol. So she at one point went down to Topeka and destroyed the senator's bar. And that act is what set the temperance movement into play. And some 30 years later is when we hit prohibition. But Cary Nation, in my mind, she's pretty single-handedly responsible for everything that led to prohibition. You know, I find it funny because some of these news stories, I'm like, you know, stuff didn't go down like that. But the town people want to make everything seem like, oh, we just do everything good. So in these historical records, basically it says the whole town showed up and they were all so excited to shut down their bars. So they peacefully went into the bars and removed everything. And they were cheering just so joyfully because they were now making the world a healthier place. And I'm like, we know that didn't happen. Okay. There were some people in town, I'm sure, who were mad, but there were three bars that were shut down. And this was while Cary Nation was in Topeka. From what I understand, she was arrested four times in one day. I'm like, I don't even know how you, I mean, just keep her in
there.
You
just couldn't stop the girl. She was just going.
She had a lot of copycats too, all the way to in Missouri and you name it. I mean, I've heard of stories. I'm like, oh, well. And then the times and the dates kind of fit. And a lot of it really, after she destroyed the senator's bar, that's when things started to, the ball really started rolling. So when they peacefully took down the bars in Houlton, they put everything in storage sheds. And I guess Cary Nation and a bunch of her people went and broke into the storage shed and destroyed everything anyway.
And is it true that you have one of her axes there at the Hotel Josephine?
They found this axe in the hotel, but I don't know specifically if it belongs to her or not. That is the assumption a lot of people have made, but I don't know if it's something that we could ever actually prove. It is on display there. And then we do tell people, you know, it is possible that it belonged to her.
When was the first report of hauntings in the building? Does that go way, way back? Have you heard some stories that happened a long time ago?
Well, the Buffalo Room is the one that goes way back. And I actually don't know how we can't really pinpoint when it happened, but it is way, way back. So the Buffalo Room is said that this guy came in on a train, kind of like a lumberjack type guy, big, tough dude. Comes in, rents out the Buffalo Room, goes in there, and after a few minutes, he leaves and says he can't stay there. And when they ask him why, he said the picture just started spinning on the wall. And he left, came back.
I wouldn't stay.
If yeah.
Things start spinning around.
I might.
Yeah, you might. I'm out of there. I'm like, there's the Best Western someplace around here that's not haunted. I just know it. But now, so back in the day, was it a pretty fancy hotel to get like a president stayed there? I read that Robert Louis Stevenson stayed there. So you had some famous guests. And I think is the book where they signed in still there as well?
Yeah. So they have all of the books, all of the registries from the day it opened, like every single one. It passed through a few hands. It was the Josephine Hotel, and then it was the William Tier Hotel. I want to say it was the City Hotel next, And then the Holton Hotel and now Hotel Josephine. The City Hotel, however, there were two of them. The guy owned two. So the other one was like literally three blocks away. So sometimes it gets a little sketchy during the City Hotel era of when, you know, which hotel they're actually talking about. But Grover Cleveland stayed there between his terms. So he wasn't actually president when he stayed there. The Ringling brothers stayed there. And you just said his name, and I can't forget his name.
Robert Louis Stevenson.
Yeah. Yes. He stayed there. And I know what book he wrote too. And I'm like, my mind's gone on that one. But Christy Alley also stayed there. And a lot of people are shocked by that, but she lived in Kansas.
She's from here in Wichita. So mm-hmm. she had a house here.
So my guess Matt had family there, or maybe she just liked there, who knows, but she had some ties to Holton some way or another. So
now I've read that Josephine actually haunts the hotel.
We believe that she does. A lot of people have seen her in the front, in the lobby and on the staircase. I have constant reports of people seeing her on the staircase. And I will say my room is right at the top of the stairs, like right behind the staircase. And so I would come out, go down this every single time I go down those stairs, I immediately look to the left down the hallway because I always think somebody's standing there. And it would just happen constantly. Eventually I got used to it, but it just seemed like every time I would go down the stairs, there was somebody there watching all of the time. And in my opinion, you know, we talk about the Buffalo Room being the most haunted. In my opinion, to me, the kitchen, the lobby, and then the room that I stayed in are some of the more haunted areas in the place.
I know you get a lot of investigators come in there and, of course, guests because it's a working hotel. What are some of the stories you've heard in your time and things that have happened even before you got there?
Well, one of the things that happened when Sarah bought the hotel, her son would stay. So they, one of the rooms is, they call it the Josephine room. And then right across is Ad Astra. So her son was staying in the Josephine room and he kept waking up in the middle of the night. And then he would say in the morning that his bed was shaking. And basically the rest of his family would just kind of make fun of him like, oh, whatever, whatever. Until Sarah stayed over in the one across and then it happened to her. And so they kind of explained it like it seemed like somebody was jumping on the bed. They didn't know this at the time, but found out later that that was actually one of the claims of those rooms is that somebody would be jumping on the bed in the middle of the night. So they were just kind of like, yeah, no, we're not doing that anymore. It's kind of funny. Yeah, Sarah's funny in some aspects where there's a room in the basement that there were some dolls they found in there because the whole building was hoarded when they bought it. And so when they were clearing out the basement in the corner of the room, they kept having stuff moved and thrown and noises. Well, when they got back there, they found three antique dolls. So Sarah kind of put them in this side room. And it's the same room, coincidentally, where the well is. She won't go in there.
There's something about dolls, that those really old dolls that just creep me out. They feel like the dolls feel like they're always watching.
And a lot of people will go in there looking for activity. And for me, I've actually found that when women are in there, it's not like nothing really ever happens. But if it's just men in there, they seem to get a lot more activity, a lot of talking with the, you know, they'll use the yes, no boxes, or they'll use the flashlights to communicate, or REM pod activity, just things like that. So it just seems to me that that room responds better to males. But her son that is always talking about, you know, Christopher, the little boy he thinks that's in the well, he always seems to get activity and they're talking to Christopher, but the well is also there. So that could have something to do with it.
Did he read about Christopher or had some story that he came across, or did he just pick up on that?
This is just something that he's picked up on. And but the thing about it is like, I know he talks about it being the well and this and that, but I have watched him, you know, a lot of times I do have events and stuff going on and he would come just to hang out and he could be anywhere in the hotel and try reaching out to this Christopher and he would get hits and nobody else seems to have that same connection. So I found that really interesting because I've worked in a lot of different haunted locations. And so this is the first time where I've really seen just like this specific connection like that. It was kind of cool to watch, honestly.
Have you heard stories from people who have stayed there? Maybe they didn't realize it was a haunted hotel. And then they came to you and said, yeah, so about that room we stayed in and we saw something or felt something. Have you had that happen, I'm assuming?
They're great people. They're pheasant hunters or quail hunters. That's what it's like, this family that comes in and they've been coming there for years. And they come in just, you know, they'll rent out like 10 rooms because it's like their whole family. And they're there to go quail hunting and they watch football and they drink and they're just great people. I love having them there. And the grandpa, one day he was getting ready, you know, to go to bed and he's just kind of talking to me and he's like, what room are you in? And I'm like, oh, I'm up in the sunflower room. And he goes, yeah. Good luck. That's one room I'll never stay in. And he's like, you know what? I don't even believe in ghosts, but that room creeps me out. And you know, he's like, he's had certain things happen in that room. And so he's just like, good luck. And I just told him, I said, don't worry. I take stuff to help me sleep. It doesn't bother me any. But I've had a lot of activity in that room. I just always find it funny when it's this guy, he's an elderly guy and he's there to quail hunt, doesn't care nothing about ghosts or anything like that. And he's just sitting there telling me, like, good luck. I'll never sleep in that room again.
I always find that interesting when people say things like that. They go, I don't believe in ghosts, but that room, I'll never stay in there. So what is it that you don't believe in? Why does that creep you out if you don't believe in that?
You know, I feel like once they have to admit that they do believe it, they have to stop so easily dismissing the things that happen and accept it for what it is. And that just becomes a whole new psychological issue that they have to deal with. So I think people do that because they just don't want to deal with, oh crap, I'm surrounded by all this, you know, that I can't see.
Yeah.
And I think they just want to avoid that altogether.
Just can't go there.
Exactly.
What are some of the kind of legendary ghost stories from the Hotel Josephine?
Oh gosh, I don't know if there's any specific like legendary ones. Obviously, the boy in the well, I think, has become one. The Buffalo Room guy has become one. Well, that's probably one of the main ones, really. They always talk about seeing a little boy, and I don't know where this came from, but from the outside, people will say they see a little boy looking out from the top window that's closest to the sidewalk. There's reports of that. There are reports of the lights being on when they shouldn't be on, which living there, I can tell you that happens. I would always walk through at night and just make sure the doors were all open because it has the old steam heat. So to keep the temperature even, if people aren't in the rooms, I keep them open. So I would walk through, make sure the room doors were open and all the lights were shut off. And then get up in the morning and there'd be certain doors shut and certain lights on. So there's a lot of that. So I know, like, and I've heard stories of people saying that. And so I'm like, yeah, well, that one's true for sure. I don't know. I don't really know that there's a whole lot of like legendary. It's just known for, you know, the shaking of the bed, the shadow figures that you see walking back and forth. The Buffalo Room, for instance, the closet, supposedly a 9-year-old girl saw eyes in the closet and it scared her. I don't think that's one thing that I tried to figure out was why would a ghost hide in a closet? But if you see it, the closet actually used to be the entrance to another room because the Buffalo Room was initially two rooms. And so the second door, they closed off and turned it into a closet. But you always see shadows going back and forth. And so my assumption is that whatever it is, just thinks it's going in and out of a room. Not necessarily like, oh, let me creep in a closet.
Well, and with the children.
I will tell you that with that closet, actually this last weekend, this girl was like, why don't we put a REM pod outside the door and put a REM pod inside the door? And what we found is every time the one outside went off, so did the one inside, like something was going in and out of that doorway. So that was really interesting.
Had a lot of investigative teams come in and investigate. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that any of those teams have discovered that really surprised you or kind of scared you? You don't seem like someone that's easily scared to me, but was there anything that kind of disturbed you that happened to them?
I haven't really been disturbed, I guess, by anything. None of it really scares me. And that's the thing. Like, there have been people come in who have just been like terrified and, you know, whatever. But I've been to some of the most well-known haunted locations in the country. And I've spent a lot of time alone in some, you know, most of them. So for me, it's just not, it doesn't scare me. I can understand people having their first experiences. And that's what happens a lot. People will come in there for the tour, the paranormal tour, or the events, you know, the people who have never done it before that don't have equipment, that are just curious and starting out. Those are the ones who typically get scared. And you got to kind of bring them back and be like, you're okay. Like, it's fine. It's not going to hurt you. You know, I live here and I'm still living and I'm not possessed. I guess that depends on who you ask. But, it's interesting to watch the people that do come in. It's the newer people, you know, the ones that experience something for the first time, those are my favorite, I think, more than anything.
What are some of the things that have happened to you personally or your coworkers? Are there kind of some ongoing places in the hotel where, okay, if we go in that room, that little boy is going to be in the closet or whoever it is. Is there some ongoing things that happen, it seems like, the longer people are there?
Yeah, there's a few. Like, I always tell people, it's harder when there's an event to go on to do this, but the lobby, if you just kind of, when it's quiet and you're just sitting there by yourself, you just sit in the lobby and don't say anything and just pay attention, you'll start to hear dishes moving in the kitchen. My room's right above the kitchen, and there were many days that I would hear what sound like somebody's in the kitchen doing dishes or moving stuff around, and I can see where the parking is, employee parking, and there'd be nobody there. And then I'd even go downstairs to double check. And there'd be nobody there, and I don't know what's happening. Sarah and I would a lot of times have like just meetings late at night, you know, over the front counter, and we could hear what sound like a spoon or a fork or something just get thrown into the metal sink. The broom has been thrown a couple of times. So it's just very random. And sometimes like you can, I think, get it going, but more often than not, you're kind of just waiting for it to happen. It's an ebb and flow. So it'll just be nothing, you know, for an hour, and then you'll get an explosion of stuff for like 5 minutes, and then it's done again. Almost like it just takes some time to build it up. It lets you know it's there, and then it's gone until it builds it up again. The lobby itself, Thanksgiving, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 days after Thanksgiving, I was sitting in the lobby on the other side of the lobby, and the Christmas tree was up like total other side. And I was sitting there for about 20 minutes, and one of the ornaments just flew off the tree. And Sarah came in like 20 minutes later. I was like, oh, your ornament flew off the tree. And it was in the fireplace, which was a good few feet away from the tree. And she was like, oh, that's interesting. And I was like, yeah, I was too lazy to get up and put it back. So I just left it. And that's, to me, that was one of the coolest things, because I was sitting right there. And I had been there by myself for I don't know how long. So stuff like that happens a lot.
Do you think there are a lot of different spirits in the hotel?
Not only do I think there's a lot of different ones, but I think they're constantly changing. Almost to me, it seems like it's still a hotel. And it's not the same people over and over and over again, which I think makes it a little bit more difficult to investigate it, only because a lot of these places you can make, like when you're investigating and you get to know certain spirits and things and places they are, you can make those connections and you can understand them almost as you would like your friends and, you know, life. And so I think the constant changing, sometimes it makes it difficult to really know how they're going to interact and how to get them to interact.
I never really thought of it being a hotel and how spirits could come and go. But once you said that, I thought that makes a lot of sense to me. People weren't meant to be there forever, except Josephine. That makes sense that she would be there forever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the little boy, Christopher. That makes sense. And it seems like too, with it being, it wasn't really a nursing facility, but, you know, maybe a boarding facility for people, and a lot of death in the building as well. Does it feel negative to you, or is it playful, or is it just a lot going on at any one time?
It doesn't feel negative to me at all. I mean, I can't say never. There's been a few times here and there where for some reason I was just, you know, because there are days where, you know, I wouldn't see a person or it would just be empty. That happens every now and then. And so once in a while, those days, I would just feel real anxious and nervous. Like I'd be like double locking my door and things like that. And I don't really know why that is. Nothing would change. It's little old Holton. No one's coming there to get me, you know, but very rarely sometimes I would just feel like, I don't know, like something was watching, or I don't know. It just random anxiety, I guess. I have no idea. It was strange.
Now, you do paranormal investigations, tours that people can take.
Yes.
That's actually how I heard about Hotel Josephine. It came across my Facebook page as a, hey, join us for an overnight stay and investigate it. And then I became really interested in it. So how do people get information on that? Is it on the website?
Yeah, if you just go to, it's hoteljosephine1890.com. And so if you just go on the website, there should be like a form to fill out or an email. And you can just email, because right now, it's, you have to email and do appointment only. There are events there. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. So it's just a matter of going on the website, seeing what you want to do, seeing if you want to come in for a tour, just things like that. So, and just email. And if you have any questions, just email. The phone number's on there too. You can always call. If no one answers, just leave a message. Someone will call you back.
I think it would be a really interesting investigation. It just sounds like a place where you're going to get activity.
For the most part, we do. You know, and I'm not going to, it's like every other location.
You know, you can't turn it on or off.
Exactly. You can't. You know, in all the events that I've done, in all the places that I've done events, I can tell you right now, I've actually had a couple who got angry at me and left because books weren't flying off the shelf. I'm like, if that's what you're expecting, you're probably not going to get it. So I will say things have moved. We do have videos of some of the doors opening, you know, things like that. So there's a chance that that's what you might see when you come there. But sometimes you have to come back a time or two before you really start getting any of that. And the people who get more activity, I think, are the smaller groups. The smaller the group, the better. I always say that. It just seems to be the way of things.
I always think that too. When you have a lot of people, there's a lot of distraction. There's a lot more noise. There's just a lot more activity. And you can't really focus as much on listening and what you're doing. Too many people, you know.
Exactly. Yep. I would absolutely agree to that.
And that wraps up our conversation with Christy Ayers from the Hotel Josephine in Holton, Kansas. And if you'd like access to all our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Get everything there, also ad-free. From all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.